You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. Our government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hope to help family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you're going to get a chance at all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it needs to be done, you will get it done. And you will do it safely. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we have much madness of love and respect for you. Yes. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, and all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Monday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia for Brother Jihad Ahmed. And that's followed by from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, oh, you know it's time for an awakening. With Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, Time for an Awakening. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then on Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Council. And then on Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, go to WeBuyBlack.com. In fact, when you purchase products, if you purchase a certain amount, those shipping will be free. And also, too, brothers, they're still looking for donations to create a supermarket here in the Atlanta metro area. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. With Brother Bamani Tayemba. Brothers and sisters, he has a trip upcoming in November to Tanzania. November 18th through the 29th. And then he has a trip to Ghana. December 24th to January 5th, 2022. To Ghana. And then April 1st to April 11th. To Senegal and Gambia. And then once again, May 24th to June 5th. 2022 to Ghana. all these trips at the present time at $3,700. Brothers and sisters, put a down payment down of $400 and pay on it, and you will take a trip of a lifetime. And everything you need is on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Great pictures he has on the website. But if you want to see more and the history of what has happened and what he has done, go to PicturesForPhotosFacebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. And the number to call is 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Bubba Rinoco has a Eventbrite presentation this Friday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern, and then on Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern. That is African History and the Vision of Pan-Africanism. African History and the Vision of Pan-Africanism. That's this Friday's Eventbrite presentation. Go to drrinoco.com. Go to his website, drrinoco.com. And he had a presentation, was that Monday, in discussion with the brother Pushington Ubang of India. And that was the Sidras, an African people in India. That's one thing about Rinoco that has been just phenomenal and fantastic. He has documented the presence of African people in antiquity as well as the present at this very moment around the world. Around the world. He has a trip upcoming going to Kemet. His Kemet tour is July 31st through August 13th. July 31st. That's next week, Friday. They're taking off. That's next week, Friday, they're taking off. And, of course, there is a chance for you to get in if you want to do that, you know. But it's next week, Saturday. I apologize. Next week, Saturday. But I'm going to be talking with him because we're going to try to schedule a conversation while he is in Kemet. We're going to schedule a conversation. That'd be great, wouldn't it? You know it. All right. Dr. Rinoco, if you want to give Brother Rinoco a call, at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Dr. Rinoco Rashidi. HabashahIncorporated.org. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And, of course, they have the Kashi Project that is going on in Africa as we're talking. The buildings are up. They have pictures and videos of that on the website, HabashahIncorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org. Yes. The Ledge. Ledge Group. Land for the Environmental Development of a Group Economics. The Ledge Group. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. And, of course, they deal in the four areas of human development: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 different projects in 6 different countries, over 170 employed and over 260 members. They need more members. Brothers and sisters, join the Ledge Group. If you do become a member of the Ledge Group, you have an opportunity to buy land in Tanzania at $250 an acre. You have the opportunity to buy land at $250 an acre. That's right, brothers and sisters. Go to theledgegroup.org, theledgegroup.com, excuse me, theledgegroup.com. Bibia Tumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, BibiaTumi.com. They have a special Sunday series, Why Every African Person Should Care About What Happens in Haiti. Why Every African Person Should Care About What Happens in Haiti. That is this Sunday, and it's going to be 1 o'clock Eastern. 1 o'clock Eastern time this Sunday, the 25th. The Ledge Group, excuse me, Bibia Tumi. Go to BibiaTumi.com, brothers and sisters, for shopping, information, events, crowdfunding, Newsfeed, Shout, you name it. Go to bbatumi.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End. Here in the Atlanta area, Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. It's right across the street from Soul Veg. Up the street from the Shrine of Black Madonna. My good sister asked me, is the shrine open with their classes? I'm not sure, but she's going to check and get back with me, and I appreciate that. And the shrine is open on Friday and Saturdays from 1 to 7. Friday and Saturdays from 1 to 7. And, of course, they got books. They got the red, black, and green shoes. They got furniture. They got clothing. You name it, the shrine has it. So check it out if you're in the Atlanta area. And, of course, go to Wadada's. Give Wadada's a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Delicious smoothies and drinks and health drinks. And, of course, they have vegan food on Saturday and Sunday. Selling vegan dishes on Saturday and Sunday. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. But the Medu Bookstore, located in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. A fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, you name it, they have it. Check it out. The other bookstore we promote, of course, is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. There is light in the black dot, so says Kazimde Ajamu, the proprietor. He has the red, black, and green shoes, a fine selection of books, a coffee bar with delicious coffees and teas and so forth. Give Brother Kazimde Ajamu a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Tomorrow night's broadcast, the Thursday night broadcast at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop, located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Brothers and sisters, check out Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Give our sister, Shelly Armistead, a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Natural Sense. Your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti, our sister Gabby, even though the things that are happening in Haiti, I'm quite sure she has continued to press on with the program that she has in the rural area in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, doing great work. Sanjay-Haiti. SONJE-AYITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti of Akaban Institute. Mama Ya gave me a shout out, text me today that one of our listeners has enrolled their kid in their child into the program. That's beautiful. Because you can do that now from all over the country and all over the world, you know. They're open. It's a virtual. So, but they still need money to function. Okay. So if you don't want to send a check or money order out to Akaban Institute, make it out to Akaban Institute and send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Then you can use PayPal or Cash App. If you use Cash App, put in the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, then Baruti, BARUTI. And make a donation consistently and continuously because it's necessary and needed. Akaban House, if you want to get the books that Baba Broody writes, go to Akaban House. Akaban House. I tell you, just fine selection of books. And of course, you know, we always read the Inye Sasim here on this program. That's right.
the Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. We always do, and we will do it now. Oh, let me do this first. It's a the quarterly men's gathering, Saturday, August 7th. The quarterly men's gathering, Saturday, August 7th, and from noon to 2 p.m., from noon to 2 p.m., the donation for warriors, for our warriors, is $10, and warriors in training is $5. The topic, chess or checkers, a question of power. Are we playing chess or are we playing checkers? A question of power. And, of course, the register, make your donation of $10 for the warriors and $5 warrior in training via PayPal. If you use PayPal, put Yah Baruti, Y-A-A-B-A-R-U-T-I, at yahoo.com if you use PayPal. But if you use Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Included in the information, chess or checkers. Put in information, put in chess or checkers, then your name, and then the email address that you want the streaming link to be sent to. And we've said this many times and all the time, don't pass it out, but that's for you. Please, brothers and sisters, register and check out the Men's Quarterly. Are we playing chess or checkers? It's a question of power. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. July 20th. In fear of being African and standing for our people, we run and seek shelter under church corner steeples. If in fear of the devil, you run towards religion, fear should not have been the basis of your decision. Precise Science. Any religion or belief system which leaves us powerless before other men or in indefinite servitude to them is our enemy. I repeat, any religion or belief system which leaves us powerless before other men or indefinite servitude to them is our enemy. We are already divine. Therefore, all of our spiritual investments should be geared toward enhancing that. They should always recognize the fact that we are born without sin, and they must move us toward becoming as pure as possible in an evil social and cultural cesspool. No, we are not perfect, but they should be the aspiration. Righteousness should be the goal of any spiritual guidance we embrace. Righteousness. Eons ago, our ancestors concluded that we are here to be tested to see how we could develop through the trials and tribulations of being human and its accompanying spiritual crisis. Those of us who have come to realize this move in Ma'at, they have risen above the madness, while others holding on to their fears of physical consequences and the emotional penalties of acting righteously have failed miserably. Their denial is immense, in some cases so intense that they have fully submitted to mind-numbing appetites like self-serving religion and spiritual systems which allow them to rationalize their refusal to be their spiritual best. Affirm, I seek asylum of no religion. Affirm, I seek the asylum of no religion. Ashe. July 21st. It is better to die for an idea that will live than to live for an idea that will die. A vision like any dream is limitless. There are no rules constraining its possibilities. Constraints only come as a result of human restraints and ineptness. Therefore, there is no limit as to what we should envision of an African reality. Though, in order for it to be truthfully reflective of us as timeless, righteous, blessed people, it must surely be our historically grounded, socially, culturally, and therefore culturally acelic. Unfettered, our vision should be no more limited than was our ancestors, for they clearly demonstrated that there are no bounds to genius, and that has shown through their work is what a vision is, an idea made manifesting. The question of what African sovereignty looks like has been asked many times in contemporary settings. The short answer is that it would simply be, and this is understood too, brothers and sisters, of African sovereignty. Unfettered, our vision should be no more limited than what our ancestors, for they clearly demonstrate that there is no bounds to genius, and that has shown through their works is what a vision is, an idea made manifest. The question of what African sovereignty looks like has been asked many times in contemporary settings. The short answer is that it would simply be us, as we have always been today. It would be a reality where the way of our ancestors rules as a collectively pursued norm, and everything we create in every area of human thought and activity reflects the spiritual foundation and guidance of Ma'at. This, of course, requires a working knowledge of self untainted by Rugu, self-absorbed, self-indulgence, God-fearing ignorance. To be visionary, we must see such a sovereign reality as wholly possible in ourselves from within, as its initiators, builders, and maintainers. This would be visionary. Affirm, I live for the African idea. Affirm, I live for the African idea. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. I want to play this piece. Saw this on YouTube. And not on YouTube. I saw this on Facebook. And this is our good brother, Brother Andre Freeland, who is a multi-talented brother. He's a brother that I highly respect. He's a brother that we have been working with and in terms of a group of us as men to network with and be examples for other men and be examples for children, be examples for sisters, a group of men who want to do something to make sure that we're on the right path. So I was surprised. I shouldn't have been surprised because this cat is multi-talented, but it just struck me. So I hope you enjoy this. Yeah, this is going to be good. Brother Andre Freeland.
We rising. Peace to the goddesses and the gods. Peace to the goddesses and the gods. Andre 360. Type stuff. God music. Natural music. I'm talking to him real quick. Look. I cut down opponents like hedges that's outside of my lawn. Outdid the bassoonist the creator said I was on. No death threats. This is just music straight out the storm. I express vividly lyrics not of the norm. Was born to take form. Notice ain't a game now. All in attendance, no chance of escaping the rain now. I face cops like something's up in my veins now. All in my way, get out the path of the train now. Untamed beasts running, wild out the cage now. Left with their brain, ain't nothing ever the same now. I'm one who turned water to gold like alchemism. Have yet to meet someone you can call my competition. I drunk from the fountain of youth and lots of wisdom. It's locked down up in this thing, communism. To think you could go against God is optimism. To talk what you really don't live is a contradiction. Taking you out your comfort zone like ostracism. Spitting another space of shit in this pot to piss in. God is risen, not to mention inside a prism. It's universes inside universes and odd collisions and algorithms. I explain Gnosticism, society's misleading youth, foul religions. I seen the light beaming bright. I walk the valley of the Edomites. The vibe higher than Jesus Christ. Christ. I live what I talk and I talk and I eat the mics. I spark, I run from the darkness, conceive the light. Terrain I'm from is high end, lead a flight. I'm one with the sun, what I brung is the key of life. Evolve from the person taught how to read and write. True kings illuminate from within, we don't need a light. Look,
slogans I hold read, black is beautiful. Capture musicals while I spit on the unusual. From a cosmic place and terrain that's interstellar. Your truest truth lie inside, not what they're telling me. Manifested life and I talk through your cellular. Body's a human tissue, mass, I'm a developer. Natural in the flesh, I shape shift from time to time. It dwells in infinity's waters you can't confine. Eternal. Means I was here before the verbals. Telepathy and one with communication that's thorough. Conscious frequencies given, agreed by the spark. Eternal light illuminated, evidence of the dark. Some sought to find the meaning, but this is a higher walk. A fifth dimensional thought, let me know if you want to talk. Got the eye of a hawk. Knowledge they want to heart in universities they teach, which universally false. Some say I don't got clarity, but things I see on my perception a little twisted. How they made it to be subtracted nonsense. You know what made it was me. I stopped conversing with the cause my language is deep. Survivor with most all got maimed in the streets. Spent many a night stressing, wasn't able to sleep. Musician expressing my truth on a beat. Painting a picture even the blind dude's able to see. They say a god in any form is still a god. Awakened before there ever was word of a jihad. The natural one of rebel to raise forgotten tribes. The alchemy in the prism comes from a higher vibe. I've been wrestled the lion, the animal, Jekyll and Hyde. Meditation inside a circle. Y'all, they all want what's inside. Days with this thing. R-A 360. Morning vibes. Y'all have a power filled day. R-A 360.
Oh. I'm Ray Freeland. That's a good man, I tell you. I get him on the program one day and chop it up with him. He is a very strong brother. I really appreciate his perspective, his attitude, his leadership. And a good family man, loves his queen, loves his children. He is a good man. I really appreciate Andre Freeland. And the other brothers that are in that network, we all vibe on each other, you know. And so, excuse me. I'm going to play this particular piece. We're going to talk about race today, you know. And of course, there is no such thing as race. I want you to know that. If you ever heard me do a presentation about race, then you know that I don't subscribe to the idea of race as a biological construct. But race is real. As a human construct, it is very real. And very detrimental. The creators, of course, of race. I've mentioned this many times before. You can look it up. In fact, everything that I say here, once again, I don't give you my opinion. I don't give you my opinion. My opinion is profane. Believe me, I'd be cussing up like a mug. So I don't give you my opinion. What I give you is based upon the scholarly work of our scholars and our historians. I'm talking about the men and women who, without foundation money, grant money, reclaimed, recaptured, and restored the history of our people. The J.A. Rogers, the Jazilla Dungy Houstons, the Dr. John Henry Clarks, and Dr. Ben, Dr. Jackson, Dr. Chancellor Williams, Francis Cress Welsing, and so many others. So many others. These were warrior scholars. You know, I'm not going to try to disparage any of the other scholars who were, because all of them were academically trained through the academy. These brothers and sisters went through the rigors of the United States system of education. But just like some of the brothers that have gone through the military and come back with a strong African-centered mindset, Baba Baruti, you know, I could name so many others that I met over time, like Brother DJ, Brother Ben Njai. They were in the military, but you will not find a stronger Pan-Africanist, a stronger sovereignty-seeking person than these brothers and sisters. So even though they've done that, they weren't deeply indoctrinated. Their minds wasn't cold, not like a Ben Carson or some fool like that, you know. So race was constructed in the 1500, 16th century. Carol Linnaeus and Johann Blumenbach. Carol Linnaeus, Johann Blumenbach, the Göttingen University, I think it was, with the stratification of Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid. And of course, giving themselves the top position on the evolutionary scale and everybody else at a lower position with us at the lowest position. And because of what they were able to do globally, going around the world, taking everybody's stuff in the name of and dogging out melanated people, to this very day, if you are deeply melanated in this world today, you feel some way about yourself. Only those who have a good, positive self-image, only those who understand that their skin color is not all that who they are. Oh, yes, your skin color is somewhat of who you are. There's no doubt about that. You know, but it is not to be despised. It is not to be demeaned and degraded and dehumanized. But it is globally to this day because of what Europeans have done. I always put the blame where it squarely belongs. Exactly. So they developed this concept of race. Race is not even a real concept. Let me get my piece out of here. I don't come to here too often, but I'm going to go here today because maybe this is what we need. You know, sometimes when somebody says, maybe that's what you need. Okay, I can't seem to. Here we go. I knew I'd be able to find it. Here it is. Here it is. These are the fundamental definitions of race. The functional definitions of race and racism. A belief that human races have distinctive characteristics. This is Webster's Dictionary. This is Webster's Dictionary, unabridged. A belief that human races have a distinctive characteristics that determine their prospective cultures, usually involving the idea that your own race is superior and has a right to rule over others. Europeans who devised the concept of race believed that they were superior and they have the right to come in and take your land. They have a right to eliminate you. They are superior. They have what they believe was ordained by their God, their manifest destiny. Their manifest destiny to take and to rule. Just like, I don't know if you ever seen that poster of Cecil Rhodes, or picture Cecil Rhodes where he is standing over Africa, straddling Africa with his arms folded, with an arrogant ass look on his damn face, like to smack the. And then, you know, and what he said is, I believe that God would like to paint as much of the map of Africa British red as possible. I'm telling you, that's why I have such deep disdain for the British. And I know that the British, and through the electronic media and through media itself and all the things that have happened in these last 40, 50 years have gave you the impression, just like Winston Churchill said, history is going to be kind because I'm going to write it. And because these British people have wrote it in conjunction with the United States and other Western societies, give a positive look at Britain to this damn day. These were the sons of bitches who enslaved our people more than any other people. These were the sons of bitches who took the land and dogged out and killed many of our people. Britain owes us a tremendous debt. That's for another discussion. Dr. Bobby Wright. You know I love Dr. Bobby Wright. His essay, Psychopathic Racial Personality, is a must read for any and everyone. He was dynamic. Dr. Bobby Wright coined the term menticide, a deliberate attempt to destroy and kill a people's mind. He says a functional definition of racism could be the oppression and exploitation of a people because of their race. Using this definition, it is very clear that at this point in time, we, African people, American Africans, blacks, cannot be racist because of their lack of power to oppress anybody. We can't oppress Indians, Caucasians, Chinese, Japanese, whoever. We can't oppress nobody because we have no power. We have no power. And power is defined as the ability. This is what power is. I want you to understand this clearly. Because I just seen another piece like, we're going to do this to empower the people. Listen, power is the ability to define reality. Then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. This is Dr. Wade Nobles. I really wanted to see Dr. Wade Nobles this past Saturday. But of course, unfortunately, I was unable to do so. But have a lot of love and respect for Dr. Wade Nobles. And as I told him when I first met him, because I've had this particular quote and know it for many, many years, a few decades, I think it was the 90s when I first heard it, listening to Dr. Clark and many others as I would be in my car listening to cassette tapes. Dr. Wade Nobles, power is the ability to define reality. Europeans define a reality and they impose that on humanity. They impose their culture on humanity. Like I said, because race is not a real concept. It is a human construct, not real biologically. Power is the ability to define reality than have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. And that's what Europeans have done. They've imposed it so deeply that we've accepted their definition as if it's our own. And then the question that we need to ask ourselves is, who are we in their reality? First, we were the soulless people. No culture to speak of, backwards and so forth. We haven't done anything. We're running around the jungle with a rag of our ass and a bone through our nose, justifying the captivity or the enslavement process that we have gone through. And, of course, nothing can be furthest from the truth, but that's what they want you to believe, justifying it. Who are we in their reality today? We're the no-fit fathers, no-fit, we're the criminal element. We're drug dealers, drug addicts. They constantly show us on television, on a television, our wretchedness, and we sing it and dance to it. I hate this system, I swear. The ability to define reality and then have someone else. I would love for us to define reality for ourselves, not to impose it on anyone. But that's what I hope and pray, that we take that step back and define reality and shape it and fashion it in our image and in our interests. To be an independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign people on the continent and throughout the world. Dr. Anderson Thompson, a great ancestor, a man who I had a lot of love and respect for. I liked Andy Thompson tremendously. Dr. Anderson Thompson. The direct and overall physical and psychological subordination and subjugation of one racial group over another for the purpose of the belief, supposedly by religious doctrine. Of course, you know, the religious doctrine is the Ham story with Noah. Finally reached land, built a vineyard, got drunk. And of course, his son Ham saw his father's nakedness, told his brothers. His brothers walked backwards, did not see their father's nakedness, and put a blanket over him. And then when he woke up, all this is metaphoric, all this is a story. He woke up, found out what Ham had done, and I'm cutting to the chase, cursed Ham black to be servants unto his brothers. Cursed him black. The land of Canaan, of course, is where Israel is. That's the land of Canaan. Cursed Ham black, and Ham, of course, is Canaan. Ham is Canaan. So, and scientific data. The scientific data, in fact, there was a book out around the same time called The Bell Curve. This book of Murray, Ernst Murray, can't remember his, Charles Murray, some whatever his name was. But many people were subscribing to this. Many European thinkers, scientific thinkers, were subscribing to this, that somehow we are not intellectually sufficient and we are deficient in a lot of areas. And so scientifically, it justifies our oppression. And of course, it's done by race. We're not collectively cognitive and astute, whatever. That either because of heredity, our genes, our family, or culture, social environment, the determinant race, the dominant race in power is superior to the dominated and powerless race. And of course, that's the direction which he wants you to believe. Dr. Milana Karinga, racism is not an attitude. It is a system of defamation, denial, and destruction of a people's history, culture, and right to freedom based primarily on a false concept of race. Europeans devised the concept of race, giving themselves the top position, everyone else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. And you heard me say that many, many times. That quote is I use many times. Not too often I use quotes from Milana Karinga, because of how he has behaved, but sometimes you got to give props and love where it is. Wish he didn't act like that, though. But anyway, race is not an attitude, because if they just hated us, that's one thing. But no, what do? They impose a system on us. Racism is a system. They defame us. They deny our history and culture. They destroy us as a people. And they impose their culture on us. And how does that make us feel? How does it make us feel about ourselves and one another to this very damn day? Francis Cress Welsing. Racism, white supremacy is the local and global power system of dynamic, structured and maintained by persons who classify themselves as white, whether consciously or subconsciously determined, which consists of patterns of perception, logic, and symbol formation, thought, speech, action, and emotional response, has conducted simultaneously in all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, for the ultimate purpose of white genetic survival and to prevent white genetic annihilation on planet Earth, a planet upon which the vast majority of people are classified as non-white. They're black, brown, yellow, by white-skinned people. And all of the non-white people are genetically dominant in terms of skin coloration compared to the genetic recesses of white people. Genetic annihilation, the fear of genetic annihilation. So therefore, I must dominate everything and dictate everything. And as you see, because they have been experiencing population problems, they have a negative population growth. Everywhere on the planet. Europe, Australia, wherever you find Caucasians, they are experiencing negative population growth. That's why the demographers say in this country by the year, they used to say 2050. They're not saying 2050. They're saying 2040. Some even say 2035. That Caucasians will be a minority in this country, a numerical minority in this country. When you consider the amount of Latinos who are coming here and those who are being born here, when you consider the young population of us, although here in America, this is deep, y'all, because we have been experiencing stagnant growth because of a number of factors. Our population is young. We should be growing. In fact, at one time, I believe we were 15-17% of the population. Now we're 13% because we have been decreasing because of mass incarceration, homosexuality. We don't want to deal with our sisters. We deal with Caucasians or Latino or whatever. There's drugs and drug addictions. And some brothers just plain ain't shit. And so because of these factors, we're not growing. Who I talked about on Monday, Dr. Amos Wilson. This is Dr. Amos Wilson's quote. White supremacy, whatever form it takes, whatever it exists, must achieve three major goals if it is to socialize Africans into accepting its natural rights of final authority and primary privilege. It must establish the human racial idea as white in contrast to black. It must proclaim that if blacks are innately destined to serve whites, and that the fulfillment of their true nature requires their happy commitment to do the service. Finally, it requires that blacks be persuaded that they are incomplete without whites, and that their highest calling involves the sacrificing of themselves for the benefit of whites. But when you look at it, when you analyze it, all of these brothers and sisters were on point. They were on point as it relates to racism and white supremacy. I have a couple things I'm going to play. I'm going to play them after the hour. I want you to join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. I know this is a topic that a lot of our people are afraid to deal with. In fact, reason why I thought about this morning on Facebook is I was looking at all the Milwaukee Bucks. And, of course, a shout-out to Milwaukee. I'm from Milwaukee. The Milwaukee Bucks, last time they won the NBA championship when I was a teenager in 1971, you know, right before I turned 20. The Milwaukee Bucks won the NBA championship with then Lew Alcindor, later to become Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Bobby Dandridge, Oscar Robertson, the great Oscar Robertson, who was traded to Milwaukee from the Cincinnati Royals. And the Cincinnati Royals later to become, and they moved from Cincinnati to Kansas City, Omaha, and then moved from there to Sacramento to become the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings used to be the Cincinnati Royals. Oscar Robertson and Jerry Lucas. So Oscar Robertson is in Milwaukee. And what was interesting the other day, I'm not sure if it was last night or when they had game 3 and 4 in Milwaukee, they introduced Kareem and Oscar, who were sitting together along with Bobby Dandridge, who later went on to win a championship with the Baltimore Bullets, now the Washington Bullets. And, actually it was really Washington. They had already become Washington, the Washington Bullets. And John McLaughlin, Caucasian, the rainbow jumper, who has been in Milwaukee all that time. He was a commentator for the Milwaukee Bucks broadcast. I thought it was probably kind of cool, but Milwaukee did it. Giannis Antetokounmpo. And, of course, I just found out from my good friend, Brother Ben Njai, that, you know, he used to call Giannis the Greek freak because Giannis was born in Greece. He was born in Greece. And I've always said, just as Malcolm said, just because a cat has kittens in an oven, don't make them biscuits. Just because he was born in Greece, he ain't Greek. He's African. He's Nigerian. His first name, Giannis, is Yoruba, is Nigerian. His last name, Antetokounmpo, was changed. In fact, the way I read it from Ben Njai, it was changes that it had to be some spelling that was in concurrent with Greece. So I guess, you know, Greece, well, okay, you change the letters here and there and make a sound this way, and then you be cool with us. But if you sounded some other kind of African, no, we ain't feeling that. That's deep, ain't it, y'all? Had me change his damn name. But Giannis, outstanding. Giannis was outstanding, deserving. Yes, we can all argue that had Kyrie Irving, because they lost the first two games, had Kyrie Irving not injured himself, that more than likely the Brooklyn Nets would have won that series and maybe won the championship. But it didn't happen. And in the history of people getting injured throughout this past season is just Look at my boys, the Lakers. I'm a Laker fan. I'm not a Bucks fan. Even back then, in fact, the fact that the Bucks were not in existence until 1968. In 1967, the Los Angeles Lakers came to Milwaukee to play the other newly formed expansion team, the Chicago Bulls. And I was there. Never forget it, because Elgin Baylor, my idol, was playing. Yeah, Elgin was playing. So I got a chance to see Elgin live. Saw him a couple of times after that, but he was coaching in it. But yeah, Elgin. So then the Bucks came into existence the following year, and they, along with the Phoenix Suns and the Bucks won the coin toss. The Bucks won the coin toss. The Bucks selected Lew Alcindor, later to become Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and the Phoenix Suns selected, out of Dayton, Ohio, Neil Walk. The rest is history. The Phoenix Suns have challenged for the championship now three times, and three times they have lost. The Bucks are 2 out of 3. The Bucks won in 71, lost in 74 to the Celtics. Yuck. And, of course, they won last night. They won in 2021, 50 years after winning the first one, the Milwaukee Bucks. Right on. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue this conversation on race and racism. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stick around. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Parliament Funkadelic, America Eats Its Young. That cut, a joyful process. Always loved that cut when it first came out. Man, I love it. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program here is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening from 8 until on Fridays. Saturday, Sister Talk from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Council from 7 to 9. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. So, we're talking today about race, racism, the fallacy of it. I'm going to play this because, and then discuss this because this is something I definitely describe. I don't subscribe, but this is deep.
Hey, you, Caucasian.
Hey, man.
Redneck.
Hey, Blanco.
Gringo.
Pale face.
I gotta tell you a secret.
Goonie.
Mzungu.
This might come as a surprise.
White people, listen to this. Uh-huh. In America in the early 1600s, you didn't exist.
You didn't exist?
I hate to break it to you like this. Listen to what your history books missed. What would be made white were completely unrelated, under-melanated people. Frankenstein. Collaged by an optical illusion. The ultimate mirage called race. A social construction like Santa Claus. Back in the day, y'all either English or Scot, Irish, Catholic, or Protestant, land-owning or not. But you can't have white without black in America. Back before we was Captain America, black wasn't a race. Africans came from different nations, like Ndongo, where Queen Nzinga reigned. Indigenous were the same. Powhatan, Doeg, regardless of tribe, melanin didn't determine fate. Skin color didn't make a difference, no matter what hue your flesh was tinted in. Cause your complexion wasn't kinship, and pigment was insignificant. It didn't prevent you from certain privileges. This is the story of how skin became color. Color became race, and race became power. The creation of the Caucasian, white Aryan. It's the story of how white became American.
The census says your race is white, you don't believe the hype.
1650, Jamestown. Meet William Berkeley, appointed by King Charles II of England to govern colonial Virginia. He rules with an iron hand and enriches a small cadre of English landowners. They grow tobacco. The sweet leaf is gold. America's first road to riches. Crop, they kidnap and capture men engaged in human trafficking and trap the African. And if they can't steal the labor, then they use lies as lures, or false promises as tools to recruit all the poor from Bristol to Liverpool. Little did they know that they were in for something cruel. Jamestown was their destination. When Berkeley looks at his servants, what does he see? Color, of course, but color doesn't mean much to a man of means.
They're heathens. Waste. Dirty, diseased, lazy animals. I would sooner call my hound brother than a servant of any shade.
Under God and by law, he has the right to whip, maim, starve, buy, or sell them at his pleasure. But he fears them. He should. The rich are few. And the poor are many.
It's almost impossible to imagine now, but the poor see themselves as one. They have a common bond and a common enemy. Together. 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 The Africans and English worked together. They labored and lived, prayed and made a life together. Stole, escaped, hold and wait together. They got lashed and went to jail together. Worked hard and catch hell together. It wasn't criminal for them to love together. Got married and had kids together. The colony was filled with different shades together. Mahogany, tan, olive, and beige together. Molasses, dark chocolatey flavors together. Peach, bronze, amber, and brown. But very soon life would change up in Jamestown. There's no lifetime slavery yet. The indentured Europeans and Africans can still buy their freedom. Released from bondage, they'd set out in search of land. For these new frontiersmen, freedom is a rotten promise. The rich own all the good soil, and the indigenous tribes desperately grasp for the rest, fighting for every acre they have left. The frontiersmen seethe with each new tax, each broken promise, each death, each rich man that grows richer, each poor man that grows poor, until they can't take it anymore. 1676, time to take matters into their own hands. They cast one Nathaniel Bacon as leader, the son of an aristocrat who came to the frontier after squandering his inheritance. Under Bacon, they band together to take land from the tribes and power from Berkeley.
Together.
Get your guns, get your knives. First target is the tribes. Kill the men, women, and the children.
And the children, and the children, women, and the children, women,
and the children. 100 men turn into 1,000. A posse turned guerrilla army is astounding. And Dongo, English, Angolan, Irish fought together to abolish all the tyrants and the snakes and snakes ready to mount the heads on stakes.
Enough of these rich men, of these false men, corrupt men. Light the torches and set Jamestown ablaze.
Let it burn, let it burn, let it burn. Jamestown put the ashes in an urn. 100 years before the revolution, Africans and Europeans were in union. Let it burn,
let it burn,
let it burn,
let it burn.
The British never wanted us to earn,
us to earn.
So bring the fire to the upper classes.
Upper classes.
We can make a better future from the ashes. Berkeley watches Jamestown burn, and he burns with vengeance.
The waste must be cleansed from God's green earth.
Behind a British gunship, retribution. Berkeley hangs 20 and scatters the rest into the wilderness. The rich of Jamestown know it could have been their own necks hanging from the end of a poor man's noose. To survive as rich men, as powerful men, they vow never to let the poor rise up again as one. But how? What scheme? What deception? In 1681, white will appear in a legal document for the first time in history when Virginia bans Africans from marrying whites. One law of dozens creating and separating the races. Blacks across the colonies will be enslaved for life, no longer treated as human, but as property. Poor whites were handed the whip. The rich exploited their ignorance. They traded rebellious plots for managing slave auction blocks, and any chance for both of their freedom was lost. Doesn't happen overnight, but the rich divided people by phenotype. Melanin, skin color, you dark, you light. Your life or death could be determined by the question, are you white?
Are you white?
Well,
are you white?
Are you white?
Go ahead. Take a look in the mirror. Ask yourself, am I white?
You know, that's Bacon's Rebellion, an idea that at one time, I don't subscribe to it. Bacon, of course, he, even when he band together with the Africans, so-called, if they were indentured, planned to eliminate the indigenous people. So, this was no... As I said, he was an aristocrat who lost his fortune, and he led the rebellion because of Berkeley and his oppressive rules and so forth. But it really did nothing. And in fact, what they looked at and understood, I don't agree with this piece here that we were all in lovey-dovey. No. The case for them bringing us here has been and will be servitude. And then it was codified when they seen that if we allow Africans and Europeans to band together, those who particularly who are in servitude, who are indentured servants or whatever, you know, that's rebellion. We can't have that. We got to have these divisions. We got to make sure that the Caucasian, no matter what his status is, he's always better than the African. He's always better. And the worst thing that you could be is African. You better hope that you got some white blood in you, or definitely hope that you can pass. Because after this situation, no matter who you were, no matter what happened in the 16th century, the 1500s or the 1700s, 1600s, the 18th century, the 17th, it doesn't matter, damn it, if your ass is African, even though you might have owned land, or you might even own your brothers and sisters, you now will be owned. And it was forever. It wasn't no period of time, it was forever. If you want to use 1555, if you want to use 1619, all the way up to present day. So, Bacon's Rebellion, I know there's a movie on it and so forth, and I know people lend a lot to it because of the possibilities of whites and blacks working together. No, brothers and sisters, I maintain and will always maintain that we should strive for independence from everybody. Independence from Asians and Indians, Caucasians and Arabs. Independence to be self-determining. We determine for ourselves our direction, the things we will learn, the things that we will do. We want to be liberated, truly liberated. Just like the Caucasian wanted to be liberated from England. We have that right as well to be liberated from them and all other oppressors and exploiters. We want sovereignty. We want to determine for ourselves what our direction will be, what we'll do. We want to develop a Pan-African. We want our land back. We want to control our land. We want to raise good people, intelligent people, for service for ourselves, not individuals, not capitalists, not somebody making a whole bunch of damn money at the expense of everybody else. We want to unify with functional unity. Unity without conformity. Unity says that I agree with you, my brother. I don't have too many disagreements. I'm going to live this way. You're going to live that way, but we're going to be one. We're going to close ranks. Just like the European did, coming out of that medieval dark age. They close ranks. We may war amongst ourselves, and they do, because they are very warring people. The most violent prone people on the damn planet. But we're going to come together on those who are outside of us. We're going to subjugate them. We're going to take their land. We're going to control them. Especially when they've seen that having intercourse with those who they encountered, the women they encountered, and the offspring did not look like them, as Dr. Francis Cress Welsing said, caused an innate fear in them. And that is being realized today. So, no. No. Bump Bacon's Rebellion. You know, bump them Caucasians. You know? I'm going to play this. This is a Caucasian lady. And this is 10 things that lies we believe that keep us racist. 10 things that Caucasians believe that keeps them racist.
There's a 90% chance your phone is already infected with this.
Sorry,
there's a new groundbreaking discovery that's reversing planned obsolescence. And smartphone companies are trying their hardest to...
White people are unaware that race is a human construct, and it keeps its power because the majority of the people continue to support the misinformation. The idea of race was created by white people to divide and devalue for use in structural oppression. The only biological origins that race has is the ones that white people have awarded it. White people are so defensive when we talk about racism, it's nearly impossible to hold a meaningful conversation. We think it's about us personally. It's actually about a system that we were all born into. We didn't invent the system, but we can help dismantle it by lowering our guard and learning the truth about our real racial history so we can teach other white people. White people believe that systemic racism is a naturally occurring, inevitable phenomenon. But systemic racism in America was deliberately invented and designed to ensure that the accumulation of generational wealth for Black people would be significantly harder to obtain, if not impossible. For example, the impact of redlining over decades and decades at the city, state, and federal level has a huge impact even today, with a lack of investment in infrastructure. And on top of that, city and state school tax codes get their money from the businesses around them. If property values are low, it makes for incredibly impoverished schools where giving a great education is nearly impossible. We believe all Americans have an equal chance of success if we have a talent and work hard. This meritocracy myth is being exposed more than ever today. Success in America is not based solely on a person's ability and talent, but rather on a number of complex things like class, privilege, wealth, and who you know. Systemic racism is all about who holds the power over who gets access to the resources necessary to succeed in a capitalist economy. The racial wage gap shows that for every $100 a white family has, a Black family only has $10. We think of racism as simply someone who dislikes somebody because of their skin color. But this view is an unsophisticated and outdated definition. Today's racism is covert and riddled with deniability. It changes and morphs over time in order to remain an unspoken but ever-present cultural indoctrination. White people are not aware of the deceptive laws formulated using false information in order to justify circumventing the spirit of the Constitution and thwarting human rights. Voting rights for Blacks is an example of how racism can change in form. The 15th Amendment gave Black men the right to vote, but then grandfather clauses were passed, which kept former enslaved humans and their descendants from voting. Next came Jim Crow, literacy tests, poll taxes, and other legal obstacles to vote. Then in 2013, the Supreme Court of the United States struck down the spirit of the Voting Rights Act by making voters be the ones who had to bear the burden of proving they had been discriminated against. Before the Voting Rights Act was gutted, the burden was on the state to prove beforehand that any voting changes would not disenfranchise. Despite multiple court rulings saying that we don't have an election fraud problem in America, a number of states decided to pass laws closing polling places and implementing unnecessarily expensive and time-consuming proof of citizenship requirements in Black communities. States implemented mail-in voting restrictions. They closed down essential businesses where citizens could get the ID necessary to vote. They had voting deadlines reduced, DMVs closed, ballot boxes removed, and Black voters were purged off registration lists. We blindly believe the propaganda we see in the media, and we don't understand that the fairness doctrine does not exist anymore. The fact is, we will follow a station that has only our views and no counterpoints. The problem is, the media is a business whose number one objective is to make a profit, not to take a moral high ground. Fox News is considered entertainment TV in Canada and not actual news. In fact, a Manhattan judge tossed out a defamation lawsuit against Fox News, stating that no reasonable person could possibly believe them. 3 out of every 4 white Americans do not have a single close friend who isn't white just like them. So our knowledge of Black culture is viewed through the lens of propaganda and for-profit corporations. We believe that racism is something done intentionally. White people generally do not see ourselves in racial terms. There is the normal, which is us, and everyone else is the exception. In order for us to participate in cross-cultural learning, we have to be able to handle seeing ourselves racially. We don't know our own racial history, so we're not aware of the centuries of legal ways white America has historically, purposefully denied Black people the ability to accumulate generational wealth. We're unaware that our history classes in school were whitewashed, and so we got the abridged version of what really happened. We don't know about the horrific events that took place after emancipation, such as redlining, sundown towns, systemic lynchings, the Devil's Punch Bowl, various forms of Black Wall Street massacres, Black codes, extreme segregation in every facet of life.
If you believe like I do that it's way past time for white America to take racial responsibility, please consider subscribing.
They're not going to take any responsibility. They're not going to take any responsibility. That's one thing about the European that I understand is that they ain't going to admit to, just like Donald Trump, you know, don't admit to anything. Don't apologize for nothing. Don't admit to nothing. It happened. And it happened because it was supposed to happen based upon their idea of what should happen. That's the mindset of Europeans. Give me a call at 215-490-9832. Get in on this conversation. If you're on the queue, there's a few people on, hit star twice. Hit star twice. Let me know that you want to get in on the conversation. I know this is a tough subject for a lot of people. You know, they can't discuss it. In fact, why I came up with this one, saw on Facebook, there's a board game. There's a board game that they have now to make it, you know, easier for you to be able to deal with this subject. You know, easier. I mean, and obviously it's not. It is geared towards the public, so it's not just Caucasians to deal with the subject, because they're the ones who perpetrated, who created and perpetrated. But also, too, for us, because a lot of times we don't understand. A lot of times we don't have a damn clue. In fact, I remember not arguing, but trying to make this young man understand that we cannot be racist. He was insistent. Yeah, that we can be racist. No, we cannot. You know, and he wanted us to be as racist as what Caucasians. I mean, that because if we are and they are, then that kind of offsets things. I don't know, but no, we cannot be racist. We could be mean spirited. We could be bigoted. Bigotry means that, and prejudice means that I have a thing against you because of who and what you are and where you live and what you do. But I can't deny you the ability to move where you want to move, go to the school you want to go to, have the job that you have. and get promoted within that job. I can't deny those things, but you can deny me. You can deny me. And see, that's what we don't understand, the influence that the Europeans have. That's like Bobby Wright was saying. You know, we can be denied because of our culture. I don't use race, I use culture, because that's what Europeans have done. They impose their culture on us to such an extent that we value them and who they are and what they do as opposed to anything that we do. We are ashamed of who we are. We are ashamed of our hair. We are ashamed of our nose, our lips, our skin color. We bleach our skin. We wear wigs. We have developed such a deep self-hatred. And for those of us who, in today's world, this is very frustrating, because you should understand and see, because it is not like it was 50 years ago and beyond. No, there's so much information. There's all kinds of things that you can go to and look to ground yourself and root yourself in the knowledge of who you are. So much. But you've been trained to reject it. You've been trained to fight against it. Because you've been trained to hate who you are. You know, I love listening to our scholars, our historians, our men and our women who told us what the deal was with Caucasians as it relates to us, and who told us how we are and why we are sometimes pathetically weak. I love that quote by Drusilla Dungey Houston, who wrote the wonderful Ethiopians of the ancient Kushite Empire. She said this in 1926, the same year that Carter G. Woodson started what he then called Negro History Week, which evolved into, quote, Black History Month, which I call African and African American or American African History Month. You know me, I'm trying to get us to change the verbiage. Just like I went to this the Black Men's Lab on this Monday, my good brother attorney Molly Davis, the Black Men's Lab, and he had some good resource people as always, but they kept talking about mentoring. You know, we got to understand that mentor. Who Mentor was in the Greek mythology of the Odyssey, of Odysseus or Ulysses or whoever, who gave his son over to this man named Mentor and who sexually abused his son. So we don't want to say that's who we are. If you say mentor, that's the vision that I have. That's what he does. So we need to learn to use the correct verbiage and need to change that amongst us. I don't give a damn what the European says, because I reject every damn thing he says to begin with, even though he'll use slave. And that's the other thing that I heard, but the slaves. Brothers and sisters, once again, we must reject. Our ancestors were not slaves. They were captives and they resisted. They fought on the continent. They fought in the Middle Passage. They fought in this hemisphere. And we continue to fight today. We were not slaves. And we don't understand, when we use these terms, what images are in our minds.
and what images are in the minds of our children when we continue to use these terms.
Slaves. Bunch of slaves. Yeah, so let me see. Once again, give me a call. Oh, we got a caller here. 646. 646, good afternoon.
Odios. Hey, all I can say is when you going back to Milwaukee to celebrate with your boys for doing something they ain't doing 50 years.
Yeah, well,
now only if it could happen for the Knicks.
Yeah, well, I hear you.
Really be happy in America.
Yeah, because they haven't won since 73.
I bet you Milwaukee is on fire, man.
Oh yeah, it's lit.
Did you get your calls today from your people and everything? Shooting up and down,
well,
yelling and screaming and all that madness.
Well, I haven't heard too much about that. I'm quite sure there's something like that, you know, once they were partying, wherever they were partying at, and I hope that it wasn't crazy like that, and I truly hope no one was injured, you know. But, yeah, people went wild. I mean, it hasn't happened in, you know, 50 years, and if you watched the game last night, you saw 60-some thousand, so they say, were outside, right outside the Fiserv Forum door, you know, and of course the 17,000 that were inside. And so, and I did see on Facebook two watch parties of places that I know that if I was in Milwaukee, I'd have been, you know. So, yeah. Yeah, they
well, I tell you, man, it's, you know, it's good to see a player like Giannis.
Oh, no doubt.
Win, man. Because, yeah. You know.
Yeah, no doubt.
No he's doubt. He's definitely, to me, mm-hmm. the best player in the league. I mean, nobody can stop the guy. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's just a reality that nobody wants to be honest about. But, hey, you can stop Kevin Durant. You can't stop Giannis.
Yeah.
Once he goes downhill, it's
right.
a wrap.
Because he's strong. He built himself. If you saw last night, and I think that was they showed it a few times, even on ESPN, when he was first drafted, he was coming right out of Greece. He was being drafted, and he looked like a little boy. He looked like a little boy, you know? He was
yeah.
the 13th pick, and then you saw him at that moment, and you saw him look like today. Not only was he bigger in weight, like he was even taller. You know?
Yeah, I mean he's just an unusual player. I mean, everybody talks about Kevin Garnett and the rest,
mm-hmm.
and the Kevin Durant, which are good players. Don't take that away from them. But Giannis is a unique talent as far as what he can do on the basketball court. And I was just glad to see that he made all of those free throws. That
yeah.
was the thing that
yeah,
you
man.
Know, made me the most happy.
Oh.
Because they wanted to absolutely destroyed him.
Yeah.
If
believe
he
me.
Lost that game and
believe
he didn't make
me.
Those free
yeah.
throws. But
oh.
I mean, anytime you go 17 out of 19, man, you gotta take your hat off.
That's
because,
huge.
You know, those are Stephen Curry's
yeah.
numbers.
Yeah, those are huge. I mean, the only time now my grandson, he doesn't believe that Wilt scored 100 points in Hershey, Pennsylvania in March of 1962. He doesn't believe it. He also doesn't believe that Wilt made all those free throws, which is kind of hard to believe, too. But it can happen. You can catch fire. You can catch a groove. Giannis had a groove. Giannis, and believe me,
now,
you're right.
Hold on, Jay. Yeah, hold on. Is your grandson serious about that, or is he just joking?
You know, my grandson is a jokester. He is.
Okay.
He is.
Well,
you know.
That's good because The facts are there.
Right.
I remember one time I was messing with my father over something like that, man. And after like 5 and 10 minutes, man, he said, "Shut the F up and get away from me if you're going to be that."
Yeah. Oh, I've done that already to him, too.
You know? Huh?
I've done that to him because he makes these disparaging remarks. He knows that he's just trying to get to me, so I just get out of my way. Get out of here.
Get you upset. That's what they do. They like to get under your skin. That's what they like to do, get under your skin. But, hey, listen, like you were talking about earlier with these white folks, man, you know, they totally in denial.
Sure.
In regards to what they've done on the planet and what they continue to do on the planet. And that's why, you know, this whole critical race theory is exposing exactly what you're talking about. Because how could you be so great, deem yourself so great, but never want to tell the truth about your evil, sick, wicked ways? And the manner in which you behave towards society, humanity, and those things. I mean, it just goes to show the contradiction. Now, on our part is this. We never put forward the right narrative in explaining how wicked they really are, because it seems that our people have this desire for inclusion, forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And when you have those things working against you and your so-called leaders, then you really, as a people, are in trouble. And that's really honestly what the deal is with us. Because we give these sick bastards too much of a pass in regards to their past evil. They should never be able to get away with the evil that they've done, and the truth should be told about the evil that they've done. And,
but see, they don't want to hear
backfire.
They don't want to hear.
Nah,
just like when
Would
Robin
you?
DiAngelo. No. Not if I was like that. No, you're right, because I want to put forth the image of me as a good, honest, clean, law-abiding, righteous, loving, caring person. Look what I've done.
Nothing about it.
You know?
Nothing about them fits that narrative.
Nothing.
I mean,
when you look at the history.
The history alone in regards to when you talk about your presidents and all of that. Mm-hmm. So my question becomes this. Is it over the next 20 years going to be all right to be a slave owner? Is it just going to be just like me being a businessman? You know what I mean? The way that they're trying to set this thing up is nobody's going to be able in society to tell the truth about the white man, which if that happens, all it'll do is just keep them in a firmer grip of power, because the narrative will never be who and what they are. But the sad thing is, because of their nature and their inability to hold a true narrative, they just make it worse for themselves. They just crumble up their what they have, because they don't want to be honest about how they attain it and how they retain it.
Well, see, you know what I mean? You know,
I
did this presentation today from some information that I've seen on Facebook about a board game that helps deal with the issue of race. So those who play the game will have conversation, I guess, about it. I don't know. But I could give less than a rat's ass about having conversation with Caucasians about how evil they are. Because, number one, they don't want to hear it. And they sure in hell don't want to hear from us. And I don't want to tell them. So I could give less than a rat's ass about that, you know, because they are who they are. But one thing that I know for sure.
And it's not an honest conversation.
No. No. Well, see, mine comes out of... I always say, Jay, and you probably have heard me say this, I don't give you my opinion. I'm not giving, Jay, when I come on this radio program, I don't give you my opinion, man, because my opinion is profane. I can't stand these motherfuckers. I hate what they have done to us. I hate it. I hate the way we think about ourselves and how we look at each other. I hate it. This is what they have done to us. So no, Jay, I can't give you my opinion. But what I try to give you is a perspective based upon our scholarly research. But our, I'm talking about warrior scholars. I'm talking about Dr. Clark. I'm talking about John G. Jackson and those brothers and sisters, Francis Crest Welsing. That's what I give you. Because to me, you know, understanding the dynamics and how our community looks here in this country, how we look on the continent, how messed up we are. The root cause of that problem is European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. They're the ones who came everything up with this concept.
That the white man is.
Yes. So
that's everything he is. I mean, if you wanna give a description of a white man, you give that description. There's nothing there that makes it off base. I mean, the reality is, it's sad to say, but the white man got the Negro on remote control. That's all.
Jay,
They go about the business of doing what the white man tell them to do.
Sure, we're dictated to. But Jay, did you see Exterminate All the Brutes yet? Have you found the time? No, you haven't.
No, I haven't. What is it on? What platform?
HBO. Yeah, it's a documentary. It's a four-part documentary, about an hour long. When you talk about critical race theory, this is what they're talking about. This is what the Caucasians are adamantly against. I'm surprised you can still get it because I'm going to watch it again real soon. I've seen it about four times, just like I have Great Pyramid K 2019. Because exterminate all the brutes. This is Raoul Peck. Okay. Raoul Peck is a brother from Haiti. He lived under Duvalier, Papa Doc, Baby Doc. He saw Aristide come into power and then get disposed and so forth. Yeah, Raoul Peck. Yeah, because he did a James Baldwin documentary, I Am Not Your Negro. He did a piece on Patrice Lumumba, because he lived in the Congo as well, you know. And so, yeah.
If I get a chance, I may try and check that out. But, I mean, you know, it all boils down to, like you said, it's the narrative, man. Yeah. It's how we present it. It's how they present it. It's how we counterbalance it. And, you know, I don't know what these white folks think that they're doing. I mean, you know, everything evolves over time. And if they think that black people are just going to stay in this subservient position that we're in right now, I mean, I just don't see it. It's just unfortunate that a lot of our so-called thought merchants are not principal people. You know what I mean? How, if you notice, all they're really trying to do is moving forward with a narrative, like I always say, of you being part of whiteness or being accepted by white people to your own collective cultural demise. I mean, it's just absolutely insane that the people who try to present themselves to be so intelligent and so thought-provoking, most of their thoughts are how to get you to be accepted by white folks. Yeah. That right there is sick alone, because you're never trying to put forward your own cultural perspective.
Your own cultural narrative. Well, listen,
it's
Jay, I got another couple of calls. Just stick around and listen, because I got an announcement. And just stick around, Jay. Thank you, my brother.
I will, brother.
All right. 602, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie.
Brother Marcus. Mm-hmm. How are you, Brother Marcus? Yes. I got a good text from Barudi, Mama Yah. She mentioned that somebody has joined Akabin Institute, and I thank you for that, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah. I did get to speak to her.
Good.
I want to speak a little bit about what's going on in South Africa.
Okay.
And in Haiti.
Okay.
Because there is a correlation between what's going on in South Africa and Haiti, because it's, I think the people are calling for economic parity. In Haiti, the gangs are saying, you know what? We want to control the banks. All these light-skinned mulatto people, yes, run all the industry, yes, in the society.
Yes.
And they're saying, we want economic parity. The same thing is happening in South Africa. Because if you notice, at this time when they rioted, they didn't riot in usually they would riot, you know, in black areas where the black people own the little stores. No, this time they went to the warehouse.
Yeah.
They went to the warehouse and they went to the malls.
Mm-hmm.
And the Indians, who have a lot of porthole in South Africa too, you know, and they're crying, they're feeling it too.
Yeah.
You see, those Indian people. But you know what those Indians did? The Africans went into their community and the Indian security guard killed 15 black people there, torched the cars and shot them.
Mm.
So you know that there's going to be some repercussion behind that, because they ain't going to go like that.
Yeah.
So not all that, even in Ghana, I saw, here is a video going around where the politician came to give rice to the youth, because the voting time come, the kids say, hell no, throw back the rice in the that's, truck. That, I said, we need jobs.
That's right.
There's so something is happening.
Well, this appeasement ain't going to go along. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So it ain't all lost now. It ain't all lost. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to put that little piece in. I'm here, brother. I ain't gone. I'm
not on.
Here until it grows.
No, all right, brother Marcus. Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Announcement. Brother Mickey Dean sent me this on Cuba. And also, too, a program note. This Friday, our program will be taped because I wanted to have as a guest Brother Kwaku Lumumba. Brother Kwaku Lumumba is a really beautiful brother, very sharp on what's happening on the continent, in the Caribbean, and so forth. So we're going to talk about Cuba and Haiti, and it'll be aired Friday in our time slot, but it's a pre-program. You don't want to miss it. Great insights on Cuba and Haiti. So those who are listening now, please join on Friday to hear that program with Brother Kwaku Lumumba. And one of the organizations here is Friends of the Congo. So it's a sharp brother. Also, too, another one of my good brothers and friends, Brother Mickey Dean, sent me this on Friday, also on Friday, but in the evening at 7 p.m., Africans of Cuba, the revolution and relations with the continental Africa, the Africans of Cuba, revolution and the relationships. In fact, I mentioned before when I went to Cuba and as part of the Pastor for Peace and talked with a brother who served with Che Guevara in Angola and the many of the Africans, the dark-skinned Africans who are in Cuba. So this will be a great conversation. This is at 7 p.m., and what I'm seeing, though, is that it's going to be a Zoom on Friday. And if you want to know more about the Zoom on Friday, give them a call at 301-802-4022. That's 301-802-4022. Freedom Friday Forum. Dr. Gerald Horn is one of the presenters, James Early, Esther Iverson, Mombasa Shango. That is going to be this Friday at 7 p.m. Another group talking about what's going on in Cuba. And we'll be talking about what's going on in Cuba as well as Haiti with Brother Kwaku Lumumba. It is going to be a tape program. And it's going to air this Friday. What I try to do is make sure that
we look at all these situations, just like Brother Marcus just said about South Africa. Everything we look at is through an African perspective, an African lens, an African worldview. And how does it affect us as a people? We don't look at from CNN's perspective or MSNBC or ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, whatever. We don't look at it from a Caucasian's perspective. We look at it from ours. I know to the Caucasian, we have no perspective unless it's one that we give you. But the reality is we do, and we must. And we must critique everything from that purview. So this Friday, you see that, and that's going to be happening anyway next month with Bubba Rudy. Are we playing chess or are we playing checkers? So anyway, dear brothers and sisters, I got to get out of here. I got to go. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank all of those who called in and all those who listened via TuneIn or via timeforanawakening.com or whatever way you did and you had a chance to listen. I appreciate it. And believe me, brothers and sisters, even if nobody calls or nobody listens, Brother Oshie, Baba Oshie, Babu will be here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, like I've been for 7 years now. 7 years, be coming up on 7 years in October. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I'm committed to helping with freeing the African mind. That's why I do this. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahodie. Bibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you back here on Friday. Peace, family.